Hey, friends. Before I get started on the episode, I want to take a moment to address the June 24th Supreme Court decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. This decision stripped away the legal right to have a safe and legal abortion. Now, restricting access to comprehensive reproductive care, including abortion, threatens the health and independence of all Americans. This decision could also lead to the loss of other rights. To learn more about what you can do to help, go to podvoices.help. I encourage you to speak up, take care, and spread the word. And now, on with Create Art Podcast. Create Art Podcast. Commentary. Stealing or being influenced. Hello, friend. I'm Timothy Kim O'Brien, your head instigator at Create Art Podcast, where I use my 20 plus years of experience in arts and education to help you tame your inner critic and create more than you consume. Have you been bothered in your artistic journey by thinking you might be stealing work that influenced you so you don't create that work? Are you afraid others will think that you stole someone else's work? Much of these thoughts are brought about by imposter syndrome. And yes, I've talked about that in past episodes, about imposter syndrome and how to overcome its debilitating effects. But how can you ensure that no one can question your intent for the work you're creating? Well, today, I'm going to talk with you about how you can ensure you are being influenced versus stealing from others. Now, I'd like to start this episode off with defining some terms. I think many of us have heard the phrase, good artist copy, great artist steal, supposedly by Pablo Picasso. You know, I'm not a huge fan of this quote, but then, you know, I'm not as famous as Picasso either. Let's look at the stealing part first. I recently looked at an article by the College of Art and Technology, and they define it as such. Plagiarists copy sketches, paintings, photos, and even sculptures. When you copy someone else's art without consent or credit, you are stealing. Even mere using of a filter, changing of a color, and adding of clip art or text are part of this poor practice. Like literary plagiarism, art plagiarism also comes in many forms, such as theft and tracing. They go to further define what art theft is, and that's the obvious stealing of artwork and publishing it as your own art, without seeking consent from or giving credit to the source. The act is an indirect claim of the stolen piece. Art theft isn't limited to simple, you know, posting of others' artwork. Tweaking it to make it look different is also an act of plagiarism. On the other hand, tracing is an act of duplicating the original work either with little or no change at all. Like art theft, tracing also goes beyond the traced copy, as it also involves enhancements. Even after tracing the original piece, putting color doesn't make it yours. Flipping the trace piece backwards, altering details, and changing the original hues doesn't make it unique. Now, that's a lot of stuff right there that I just imparted to you. And of course, links will be in the show notes. But as you can see, I do cite my works and where I get them from in each and every one of my episodes. Now, this definition is great because it tells us what stealing is and goes a step beyond and answers, you know, any follow-up questions that many people have, which, you know, is tracing considered stealing as well? My definition is much more simpler because I'm not running a college. If you don't credit the work, then it's not yours to sell. And even if you do credit the work, if it's just merely a copy, it's not really yours. If it's inspired by a work, then I think you're in firmer ground. Now, if you think you may be treading a line, I think it's best to step back from that line and ask yourself some questions like, what's your motivation? Would your work have existed if you had not experienced the original piece? How much of myself have I really put into this work? Now, if you can't, definitively answer these questions, don't sell the work. Don't present it in public. You may be causing yourself more trouble than it's worth. You may want to consult an attorney because if the originator of the work sees it and you have monetary gain because of their work, they're most likely going to go ahead and speak with an attorney. Besides, stealing work doesn't show how clever you are. Rather, it shows a disregard for the work that inspired your work. I not only cite my work and influences because it's the right thing to do, I cite my work because I want the audience to learn something after experiencing my work. Someone may have never heard of the Surrealists or Charles Bukowski or, heaven forbid, John Coltrane. So when you cite your work or acknowledge where it came from, your audience will know that you know your stuff, that you know how to research and go out and experience new and exciting things, just like they're doing. And it may give them, the encouragement that they need to go out there and create more work of their own. Sounds like a reason to make a podcast or three or nine, however many I'm doing today. Don't be lazy. Don't be clever. Acknowledge where the influence comes from and spread the knowledge to others. So now I'd like to, go ahead and turn everything around and and talk about being influenced by others. Now, in the Bible, and I'm not a huge fan of it, but, it's a great book of fiction, the book of Ecclesiastes, and that's easy for you to say, there is a saying that's used in the art world all the time, and that's, there's nothing new underneath the sun. What that means to me is that there's, someone saying that there's nothing new to be discovered, and I disagree with that. Maybe everything has been talked about or discovered, but not necessarily through your eyes and your experience. Recently, I discovered a jazz band called Jazz Sabbath that remakes Black Sabbath songs into the jazz pieces. Now, I love Black Sabbath, and the interpretation these guys do in Jazz Sabbath is amazing and right on point. In fact, if you look at Black Sabbath's music, that music was influenced by the blues. So we're kind of looking at a third generation influence when we listen to Jazz Sabbath. Probably more generations than that, but I'm not going to go into, that far into musical genre history. Maybe that's for another episode or another podcast. Now, when you read the liner notes of Jazz Sabbath, you can see that they're parroting Black Sabbath, and it's very tongue-in-cheek. Take a listen to them. I highly recommend it. But here's the thing. They're acknowledging their influence in a funny and unique way, which I think is another stroke of genius on their part. They have concocted a backstory behind the group that explains in an alternate reality their formation, downfall, and reemergence. Another genius move. Here's the thing I wonder about. What would the reaction be from someone who had never heard of Black Sabbath, never heard their music before, and they heard this band, they heard Jazz Sabbath, and then they heard the original song from Black Sabbath? They've taken great and timeless music and reimagined it into another genre, somebody else is proof of that is Weird Al Yankovic. You know, he parodies pop music, and his music is legendary. His musicianship is on the genius level, and no one says that he's just, you know, a talentless hack. People from all walks of life enjoy it, and many pop stars want him to redo their songs just to see what he can come up with. You know, you can do that with your work. If you need permission, I'm giving it to you. Heck, if you want to recreate art that you see on my merch site, by all means, go for it. I do ask that, you know, hey, let me know and let me take a look at it first. But by all means, knock yourself out. Imitation is a high form of flattery. And, you know, if you're recreating my work, you're actually recreating works that inspired me. There's nothing wrong with it. And people have made very lucrative careers doing it because, you know, it's their take on the original piece. These people make sure to acknowledge, as do I, the source of the work. And usually the originator doesn't have a problem because it does spark interest in the original works. Now, one of my favorite parts of the show is I'd like to, you know, go ahead and research some articles. And I did that for this one, for this episode. First one I researched was Great Artist Steal by Jim Connolly on the Creative Thinking Hub. See, I do cite my works. Now, he talks about, and the links, again, will be in the show notes. Now, he talks about creative thinking and original thought. And in his article, he also talks about great examples of stealing, and I'm using air quotes in that, from Google, Apple, and George Lucas. Now, these companies and directors use the template set up by others to make their work the powerhouses that they are today. He states that good artists emulate what they see, and great artists take elements from the work and incorporate it into their work. So stealing, in his mind, is the utilization of elements in the work versus just copying the work. Now, I'm inclined to agree with that idea, except for one caveat. The artist needs to be transparent when others ask them where they got their ideas from. The great artist doesn't need to promote the originator's work necessarily, but they need to be honest when they talk about their influences. The second article I took a look at was from Christine Mishyama in her essay titled Inspiration versus Imitation, and it's posted on Might Could blog. And it gives great ideas and best practices for copying work. Now, our first point, and she has four of them, is to copy, to imitate, and learn. I think the most important part of this first point is the learning part of it. She stresses not tracing, but copying freehand. And she's talking a lot about illustration and drawings. That's her main thread. Now, if this is the way that you learn, go for it. And when you feel you've, you know, mastered it for public consumption, go out there and create some work. Think about it this way. We all use templates. I talked about templates earlier in some form or fashion to make our work quicker and better. And we adjust those templates that may not be set up for the product, the exact product that we want. So we adjust them. But we need to have those templates to get us closer to our goals. Copying a work is fine for learning. Copying a work and putting it out there is not. And she discusses that in her fourth point. Now, her second point is copying to steal and combine. Again, we have the negative connotation of theft in the word steal. But in a sense, she's saying that stealing is taking elements from others' work and rearranging them to create something new. You aren't copying line by line, but you are taking elements with the goal of making something new. Now, I think we need a different word that does not have that negative connotation, so let's not use the word steal anymore. Now, her third point is copying to honor and play. You know, there are a number of writing, painting, musical prompts out there that help you ignite your creative spark. Heck, I do the National Poetry Writing Month and National Novel Writing Month every year to kick myself into a creative state. And I specifically remember one prompt. This was in National Poetry Writing Month. It was to take the lines of poems that influenced you and rearrange them into a poem. Now, here's the thing. The prompt also said to mention the poems you took from. So naturally, I went to Dylan Thomas, Leonard Cohen, and T.S. Eliot, who are some of my favorite poets, and took lines from some of my favorite poems from them and created something that worked. Now, when I perform this piece in public, I start off by saying that this is from a prompt and explain the prompt. And at the end, I cite the poems and poets I used in the written version of the poem. I actually cite which lines came from which poet. So yes, I am taking, you know, from other people's works and rearranging it to form something new. Now, here's another good point. The poets that I took from also took from someone else to create that work. Now, her last point is, you know, copying to plagiarize. Now, as I said earlier, intention is my main sticking point. If you're making money off of someone else's work and don't want to do the work, hard work yourself, Christine and I have a problem with that work. Yeah, you may run into copyright issues. At no other time in our world's history have we had so much access to everyone's work, past and present. So it's a near impossibility not to be influenced by someone's work. If you're in the academic world, getting your degree in art, you're going to be exposed to literally thousands of artists that came before you, and that is okay. It's good and will strengthen you in your pursuits. Just take from what they have discovered and make discoveries of your own. Now, if you're worried about, you know, your audience is going to think that you're just copying or stealing from another artist and their work, or you're unsure where that next idea is going to come from, I say, look at your intentions. I really think that you can create some fantastic original art using elements from other artists. There is nothing wrong with that. It doesn't make you less of an artist. In fact, I think it makes you more creative, because you are presenting something in your vision that your audience may have already been exposed to, but now it's in through your eyes. For no other reason, copy work so you can practice your skill. Learn something new. Or, you know, view a favorite piece of work in a new light, and that's the light that you shed on it. We need your viewpoint. Your audience wants your viewpoint. So go ahead and give your viewpoint of these original works that inspire you. If you got something out of this episode, please go ahead and share it with a friend. It may be just what they need to hear. Now, if you have questions about the show, please feel free to reach out to me and tell me, you know, what you're doing in your neck of the woods. You can email me at timothy@createartpodcast.com. And if you'd like to be on the show, go ahead and reach out. I'd love to feature your work on my show. If you like this podcast, you can check out my other podcasts. Find a Podcast About helps you find your next binge-worthy podcast and outsmart the algorithm. And you can find that at findapodcastabout.xyz. I also run a podcast called Clearly Obtuse, which is where I explore what an avant-garde podcast would sound like. You can find that one at clearlyobtuse.com. I'm going to ask you one other thing. If you were to sit down and rate this episode, what would make it a 5-star rating? Let me know. I'd be interested to hear what you have to say. Now go out there and be influenced by your favorite artists. Tame that inner critic and create more than you consume. Go out there and create some art for somebody you love. yourself. I'll see you next time.